Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning. I'm Greg Hahn, President of Winthrop Capital Management, and with me is Adam Koons, who's Head of Trading and helps with portfolio management. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
With us also is Linda Jackson, who heads up marketing and client service for us. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
All right, we got some stuff to cover this morning, including the news from Moderna. So, good news from Moderna. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so it's just the efficacy of their vaccine showed to be 94.3% effective. I think that the big point the markets are digesting here and why they're up again is the fact that having now two viable solutions increases the probability that something can really get through FDA quickly. After Pfizer's announcement, it was definitely a hurrah moment. But then the questions were, okay, what are the side effects? How quickly can it get through? So I think having two that can be accelerated here just increases that probability we get something soon.
So you think, will consumers have a choice of which vaccine they want to choose, or is it just going to be by the state? Do we even know?
I don't even know, yeah.
At the end of the day, we expect at least four vaccines.
Right.
So it's good news. It's good news for the market. So we saw stocks. You expect to open strong this morning.
Yeah, Dallas opened up about 500 points.
But a couple themes for next year. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the themes for next year as we start to build a kind of a transition into the end of the year and how we want portfolios to look and what we want to take advantage of. So in this potential recovery, right? We're not predicting a recovery, but we expect that we're going to see some kind of a shift. I say we're not predicting a recovery. That's not true. We are looking for a recovery, but it's not going to be immediate. It's not going to be instantaneous. We still have about $1 trillion of the economy that's just not operating efficiently, which includes travel, leisure, sports, entertainment, gaming, those, you know, business models where people come together, right? Yep. So the vaccine is designed to hopefully eliminate that, right? So, but we would expect to see some kind of a rotation out of the tech, which has really supported the market, into some of the COVID-affected industries.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, obviously tech has been the driver of performance this year. And when we made the shift into our equal weight ETF, ticker RSP, that the thesis behind that was just that, is that there's a rotation out of tech and into these underperforming sectors. I think, I'll speak for myself, I don't think tech is necessarily going to just decline, but I think what you'll see is that just the rate of growth has to slow here. And then you see a lot of these other industries start to catch up just really been beaten down.
Yeah. And so we've talked about using an equally weighted S&P 500 ETF as a way to help work alongside of a normal S&P 500 ETF to capture that
yep.
movement, just because the S&P 500 now is not only so concentrated in five individual stocks, but also concentrated in that tech sector, which we estimate is over 40% now.
Yeah, I mean, even if you just, without even doing hard math, you just combine tech with communication services, you're at 40, and then you start adding in those names like Amazon that are not considered tech, you get almost close to 50%.
So one of the surprises kind of heading into the end of the year and kind of sorting through a lot of the economic statistics is actually how well the economy has held up.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a solid rebound in the broad economy, except for the COVID-affected industries. And this, by the way, is we've had one stimulus initiative that came back in the March, April area. And then the Congress has been wrestling with a second, has not come to an agreement. But when we look at the manufacturing data, the ISM is, I think, over 59.
Yep.
So we've got a combination of things that inventories are down, demand is increasing, or demand's really high. So it's created this perfect storm for the manufacturing sector. So we see at least two years of runway where the economics there are very, very favorable. The consumer, has actually held up pretty well. Mm-hmm. Part of that's attributed to the added stimulus that they've received, absolutely. But we see an increase in savings rates. So mm-hmm. home prices are up 10% year over year.
Yeah.
So there's some evidence that which is surprising in a large part for us, I think, that the economy has done so well. So some themes heading into next year. So this year we had 5 stocks that we picked. That was part of our focus growth. The focus growth strategy is up. Do you have the number?
42%.
Year to date, 42%. So we had 5 stocks, and I remember it was Amazon was one of them. Amazon, Microsoft, Alphabet, Lockheed was one of them. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And what was the fifth one?
Facebook.
So 2021, we have 5 stocks that we want to highlight. Actually, it's 6, but we got to whittle them. We're just not really, really good with math. No math before 9 o'clock or after 5 o'clock. So a couple themes. One is China. I think what we're looking at is this is not one of those things where you pick one theme for a year. The theme for China has been going on for 2 decades, and we expect it's going to persist another 10 years. And even though they've got a clampdown on technology that we saw technology companies last week, it's still a major theme, right. And it's part of their brand. It's part of their identity. Yeah. Is these companies like, and we'll talk about a couple of these, but Alibaba and Tencent are the ones that come to mind. So that's one theme. The other theme is pet care. During the pandemic, there was a growing population of people who got pets. Some of them were support animals. Others were just
bored.
Right? I'm just lonely.
Yeah.
And that actually speaks to another theme, is this online digital platform. So we're going to talk about a company that we think makes a ton of sense next year as we're kind of emerging through the pandemic. When we I don't know, many people, I don't know that they study financial markets, but as we transition into these 5 names, when we go back to the 1920s, this was my grandma's generation, was the Roaring Twenties. When you look at what the factors were that built the Roaring Twenties, one of them was coming out of the pandemic of 1918. The Spanish flu was 1918. So that took 2 years to work itself through. And the other one was the repeal of Prohibition. So I'm not going to go out on a limb here, but I do believe that we will have our version of the Roaring Twenties. It won't last this decade. It's going to last a short period of time. But as we talk to people, they're just fed up. They just want to get out, and they want to just be with people. Some just want to party. You know, it's this. So we expect that once we can see this economy open up, we will have an economic boom. But I don't know that it's necessarily the 2021. But it's going to build up to something that's going to be meaningful. So with that, do you want to kick us off with?
So like you said, I mean, I think we all feel it, that you are missing those interactions. So one of those themes is, how do we interact with loved ones, friends, you know, going forward, and to that matter of fact, dating. So that plays into the first two, which are Facebook and Match. Match Group, I think most people are aware of what it is, but it's an online dating. They own several different brands, OkCupid, Tinder, to name a few. And really, when you're looking here, you've got revenue up 18%, and that's driven by the fact that, A, people can't go out and mingle in public. So if you're sitting at home and you don't have a significant other, you know, you're going to turn to some sort of app-based platform. These have been well established, and so it was an easy transition for people to move to towards some sort of online app to begin dating, which maybe used to be kind of the joke to find a date online, but now it's becoming the norm. And especially when you start to talk to the younger millennials, that this is definitely how they're doing it. Bumble is another one. It's not in the Match Group platform, but is well adopted. So you're even seeing the Asian market really pick up. Huge spikes there, up 100% users And the monetization here continues to pick up. You're seeing where it was just a lot of these were free, and now they've added on different bolt-ons so that they kind of force you to feel like you got to pay. So that's really driving the revenue here, and we think that that theme is going to continue into next year. For Match. Secondly, we got Facebook. Once again, a brand I think everyone's fully aware of, but you've seen daily active users really increase. They've got 1.82 billion people daily using Facebook. I mean, that's just incredible when you're seeing that much active usement for one application.
So during the pandemic, didn't the subscriber growth increase as people just got back on?
Yeah, you just get, you know, because Facebook, it kind of started to lose a little bit of its flavor. Instagram was kind of becoming the strongest brand. But yeah, you saw more and more people moving towards a platform for video, for chatting. And Facebook did a good job of moving quickly to add more features that just kind of kept people engaged. So you saw that in the numbers as engagement went up as well, not just logging on, but also just staying on. So right now they have 10 million active advertisers. And that's the point here is, I mean, you can have a great application, but can you monetize it? And that's what Facebook has done really well in monetizing that. Their marketplace platform has done an incredible job of kind of just, like I said, keeping people engaged on the platform. And then WhatsApp is an additional point of growth. This once again is kind of in that younger generation. People have turned towards these type of applications for just everyday communication. So Facebook's here to stay, and I think the growth is going to continue. They've done a good job of adding to the platform, and I don't see anything changing.
So Match Group, back on the Match Group, 40% of all singles use a dating app now, it's estimated. Yeah. So but that I think this was an industry that didn't even exist 10 years ago, right?
Right.
So we talk about how the pandemic has accelerated the demise of certain business models and that were broken or inefficient, and also helped to accelerate the creation of new business models. We talked about the pet care industry. Zoetis is a company. The ticker ZTS is a pharmaceutical company just for the pet care industry. So it does both agriculture and domestic pets, and it does diagnostic products, genetic testing, which is one of my favorite things. We had our dog genetically tested.
Nice.
I love companies with gross margins of 65% and operating margins of 32%. You can navigate a lot. The challenge here is that it has a pretty lofty valuation. It trades at 42 times earnings. But our expectation is that the stock right now is $167 a share. It's a $210 stock in our opinion. So it's not the kind of tech growth type of thing, but we think that this whole pet care industry is a growing. We used to think the whole concept of pet insurance was a joke, and I think now it's a reality. So we'll start to potentially build a position in the portfolio that I think expresses that as well. But so that's one.
And not a highlight on that. I don't know if you saw over the weekend, but Walmart actually announced that they're going to start selling pet care insurance, and they're increasing their pet pharmaceuticals. So really competing with Chewy there. But that should help Zoetis just to get more distribution out there.
Okay, so we got Facebook, Zoetis, Match Group, Alibaba. Okay, so this is one of the China plays, and it was really a debate between Tencent and Alibaba, and arguably we could put both of them in there. Both have been hit pretty hard because of the crackdown by the government, the regulatory crackdown over these. Alibaba got hit because they were spinning off Ant.
Yep.
And I read the Wall Street Journal article said that Xi was the one who just personally squashed it.
Yeah, so I read deeper into that. Apparently Jack Ma did an interview criticizing the Chinese government's regulation on financial markets, and pretty much the next day,
yeah,
clamp can.
So, a great company. Mm-hmm. Now, when we invest in China, it's a little tricky because their form of capitalism is a state-sponsored capitalism. It's not a free market capitalism. Their disclosures aren't as good. Their accounting and access with independent auditors is not as good. So we have some opaque issues here. Sure. But I mean, I think it's $74 billion in revenue. I mean, it's just it's just a huge, huge company. And it covers the cloud computing. It covers the digital media platform and entertainment. Yep. It's got the payment processing business. And then Tencent is the one that has the gaming exposure. Yes,
yes.
So,
yeah, I think on the Baba side, you kind of nailed on it. Is you've got the cloud is really where I'm seeing a lot of growth. That's projected to be worth $100 billion by the end of 2022. They've got the 33% stake in Ant, which right now is valued at $70 billion. And margins keep actually expanding. So this year they're at 40%. Next year I'm expecting them to be about 42%. So on a valuation side, 30 times earnings really isn't that bad. But when you mm-hmm. project out or pro forma out the earnings and margin expansion, they should trade about 20 times earnings by the end of 2022, which I think is extremely reasonable for a company growing at 39%. So right now they've got 80% of the consumer to consumer and business to consumer commerce sector. So they've really become the Amazon and the commerce side in China. And when you look at the American companies that have tried to penetrate, it's just not working. And then on the platform side, we're joking about Facebook, and someone said, well, you can get it illegally in China and you can, but that you can't monetize that.
Nope.
Alibaba can monetize it because they are state sponsored. And U.S. companies, especially, regardless of what we change on the presidential side, the tensions are going to be there and they're always going to have a home bias and they're going to hold strong to that. So it's just going to be difficult for companies like Google, Facebook to really penetrate.
Yeah. Now, Microsoft, can we transition to Microsoft as the fifth of sixth ideas?
So Microsoft, worked really well this year. It's up 38%. The growth shouldn't be a surprise on the cloud side. As more and more people were working from home, their infrastructures were stressed. To be remote. So you had Office 365 just accelerate. You've had Azure accelerate at 62% on the Azure cloud side. But valuations are pretty lofty. So 33 times earnings and 10 times revenue is a little steep. So when I was working through this, I had to ask myself, if I'm going to buy it today, what's really going to drive value going forward? And the piece that it doesn't seem like anyone's looking at that Microsoft has really put the pedal to the metal on is security. Mm-hmm. And so when I was working through, if you look at the Azure cloud side, you've got about $20 billion worth of revenue that's untapped in security there. And then on the Office 365, we got about $15 billion. So you're looking at anywhere between $30 and $40 billion of untapped revenue that should hit within the next 3 years. So that's a big driver. And if you factor that in, you're looking at Microsoft by 2022 trading mid-20s earnings.
I miss my Windows XP. This 365 thing, it's just a little chunky for me.
Well, you got to be connected to the internet, right?
My dial-up modem works fine.
Yeah.
So Microsoft checks a lot of boxes. Yes. It's China. It's got the China growth. It's one of the major, global companies that has a large revenue and a growing growth potential out of China. So it also has the gaming business, right?
Yes.
The Xbox.
And
so we got a new cycle with both PlayStation and Xbox coming out this year, and it's got the cloud business.
Yep.
So cloud, I don't know where we are in the baseball innings in the cloud business.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are we in the fourth inning, fifth inning, or the sixth?
I think a lot of people are guessing, but I'd say we're probably
halfway through it.
Yeah.
And so Microsoft, obviously one of the top two leaders in the cloud business. So I from our standpoint, checks a ton of boxes. And I think it's just the potential that they have is just significant. Continued. So last one, we got time for one more. Do you want to talk about PayPal?
Yeah, PayPal. So another one that kind of checks a lot of boxes. It's obviously a more specific industry on the payment processing, but it should, once again, shouldn't come in any surprise, is that you know, handing someone a $10 bill is going away. And so
you can't online shop and then pay with cash, can you?
You can't do that either.
Doesn't work.
Nope, doesn't work. So you've seen the number of vendors increase significantly for PayPal. Obviously on the Venmo side, like I'm saying, you know, if you share a cab, you go out to dinner, it has become the norm to just, hey, Venmo me. And I'm saying that more and more often in my life. And I know I am not the only one that's experiencing that. So you've seen Venmo growth accelerate 20%. That should continue. And then just the most recent ad was Bitcoin. And while that's going to get a lot of people raising their eyebrows on what does that really mean, I think Bitcoin is becoming more and more serious as a payment thing.
So you're saying that PayPal is accepting Bitcoin as payment?
They are going to, yeah. It's not implemented yet, but they're going to allow you to actually purchase Bitcoin and trade it, you know, between.
Well, so will you be able to hold it at a PayPal account? So you don't have to set up your own wallet anymore and then watch it get stolen.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I think that's going to make, like you said, it's going to make people feel more secure. It's going to open people up to just using it, which I think we're really in the early innings of Bitcoin. So I think this is a smart move early on to just get in with that rather than what some of these other companies are trying to create their own. I think that's just,
and that's part of the Alibaba play is their payment processing business into China, mm-hmm. which is not integrated into the global system. PayPal is unique to the United States.
It is.
So we still don't have a way other than Western Union to ship money into other countries.
International wires are still the clunkiest thing you can do. And so, yeah, no one's really figured that out.
So is that a potential growth opportunity for PayPal, or is that just a bureaucratic?
Because Bitcoin is one of those things that overcomes international wires, and that's really the big allure behind it. Is you can move that money. It's a ledger transaction without all the scrutiny you get behind an international wire. So if you live in Mexico or you live here and you have family in Mexico and you want to send it to them, if you can do it with Bitcoin, it is cleaner. It is actually safer. It's here, and it's definitely going to be a future.
When that happens, Western Union doesn't.
They're dead.
Yeah. It's like the typewriter leaving the office back in 1984.
Just look up, and they won't be there.
They weren't dead, right? So with that, why don't we end it here?
Yeah.
So Adam, thank you. Linda, thank you. You guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you through the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.